Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We're coming through this chapter. We're here at verse number 9, and we want to continue on with this. And believe it or not, we're coming down to the end of the book. I know at times I drag my feet and have to dig in a little deeper there, and I hope it's been helpful and beneficial to you and to us. I've enjoyed it, and I hope it hasn't been tedious, but we have the Word of God here, and these are things that are given to us indeed for day-to-day living, things that we need to rehearse and have in us, and the Lord tells us even different ways about some of the same kind of things. We're going to see that even tonight. And here in verse number 9 is one of those cases. If a wise man, Proverbs 29 verse 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, pardon me, there is no rest. I'm going to have to get a cough drop here. Bear with me. Here this contending is talking about pronouncing sentence or judging. A wise man is there. He has the wisdom of the Lord and the truth of God's Word. That's the context. It's the right way that he is there dealing with. And he's here engaged with this foolish man. And here this is telling, if I understand it right, it's telling about the plight of the foolish man in yet another way. You know, we've seen it this way. A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit. And that doesn't say fool, but the sluggard is foolish, isn't he? He is a fool. A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He just won't budge from what he thinks is right. And so this man here contending with this foolish man, a wise man contending, he's pronouncing sentence, or he's this word contending, synonyms for this are judging or reasoning with. Or maybe he's ruling over. He's got responsibility, authority over this foolish man. And it says here, whether he rage, okay, speaking about actually to quiver or to shake or to tremble, with a violent maybe emotion, or is angry and looks to cause fear to come upon this foolish man, or whether he rage, I think the wise man that's contending with him, or laugh, and this word laugh is talking about to deride or to have in derision, even to laugh or make merry or to mock or to scorn, whether he tries to make the fool afraid, you know, by his right word and authority, or whether he tries to even shame the fool. We've seen that. Whether he just tries to shame the fool with the truth, there is no rest. And this word rest is talking about a good outcome, a lifting, a restfulness. There's no, or of course, but there's no change. It even speaks about unfavorable punishment. There's not going to be a good end. Why? Because the man's a fool, and he needs to turn from his foolishness. A sluggard is wiser, right? The seven men that can render a reason. A fool that will not work. Now, I railed on Adolf Hitler last time. I want to do it a little bit more. I found this interesting in reading something about his day and when he pursued and did what he did. You know, Adolf Hitler, when he lived and his father was alive, he would not work. He refused to work. When his mother was widowed at the death of his father, he would not work to support her and himself. He looked to her to support him and family. When his mother died, he would not work to support himself. He was a fool. And he bucked at authority, and his end was terrible, as the early part of this chapter speaks about. Verse number 10, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. And that would apply in his regime and others that are there. Not that necessarily all the Jews that Hitler persecuted were saved, but they were decent folks, and they pursued normal things in life, and he hated them. They were indeed the people of the Lord, the nation of the Lord. And listen to the contrast here. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. Why? Because talking about the upright and talking about the true, talking about those obedient to the Lord, what is it that happens? John chapter 3, they shine forth a light. They shine forth a light. And what's it happen? How is it that it happens? When the light of the truth of God's Word shines by the witness of His people, it is hated. It is hated by the wicked. It is hated. Remember how we were before we were saved? We didn't like the truth coming around, especially when it got close to us. It condemns us. It condemns us. Why? Because we love our sin. The natural man loves his sin more than he cares for the Lord. But look at this contrast. But the just seek his soul. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just, the justified, the people of the Lord, if you will, seeks the soul of even the bloodthirsty. He needs to be saved. Then there's a desire. There's a desire for all souls. All souls are precious. All souls need salvation. All souls need the Lord. And we're called to be a witness to each one. Matthew chapter 5. Oh my. Let me get this water here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Jesus says, "Ye have heard..." Pardon me. Would you believe that stick of gum will make that go away? Yeah, please. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. Maybe I can recover here.
"Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect."
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate that. Thank you. I don't know how that cinnamon gum, that big red, makes that go away in my throat. And I was directed by one of my children. I'm going to segue here. That I chomped that gum, and I was brought up to never even chew gum in church. That's what my mother would be appalled if she knew that I chewed gum in church. But
especially preaching.
Especially preaching, exactly. But that cinnamon gum makes a difference whether that thing, I was going to try it tonight to get by without it, and that thing comes up in my throat, and somehow it does it. I discovered that at a funeral. I was getting ready to speak at a funeral and went and put a piece of gum in my mouth, and that worked. All right, thank you, Brother Mark. The Lord does good to we who have hated Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's a shape that we are in. That's the shape that the lost and dying world is in. Yet He sent His Son. He gives the sunshine, and it shines on the evil and the good. He gives rain to the just and unjust farmer, and then those that benefit from the food. Amen? He does that. He says, an enemy, He said, you've heard it said to hate your enemy. But that's not what God says, because that's not what God has done. God has rather shown love and care and blessing to His enemy. He says at that last verse, be ye therefore perfect, upright, mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Even if the Lord is derided, He still does good to mankind and to those even that would be called bloodthirsty and hateful towards Him. That's hard to do, isn't it? But the new man can do it through the help and blessing of the Lord. Luke chapter 6, let's take a look over there. Familiar passages, but we want to review them in this light. The just seek his soul. Maybe you can't speak to the one that's against you, but you can always pray for him and pray the Lord to open up the opportunity. You know, as the Lord, if we as his children be willing and open and pliable and his hands and desires to be used of him, you know, I've had in the past in different places that I've worked and going into and stuff, and would just have people for the sake of business or whatever, they would be against who I represented or what I had, and they were convinced otherwise, and that's fine, that's her prerogative as an example, but then I would yet extend myself to them as I should and pursue to help them. And then, you know, there would be times that there would be something totally unrelated that would come about, and they would express a situation at hand, and I would let them know that I would pray for them, and that if I could help them in any way, I'd be glad to do so. And not doing that to try to get in with them for the sake of their business or whatever, but it has an effect on people, some, that you do care. And then they have opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you care for their soul. It has an effect on them. And again, we don't do that to gain their business or their work or whatever, but it just, those are in relationships like that, I've seen that happen. I've seen folks that would be just totally diabolically opposed, and then the Lord would make an opportunity to let them know that not dealing with the issue at hand and why we met and why we're together, but something that's there in their life, and show them that we care. We do care for folks, don't we? We well should. We should care. The Lord cared for us when he should have been doing away with us. Luke 6:27. Thanks, Brother Mark, for reading. I appreciate bailing me out that way. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. That says, do good to them. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Oh, that's hard, but that's what we're to do. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Wow, that's hard. And as you would that men should do unto you, do you also to them likewise. We need to understand that. We need to teach our children that. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be dealt with? For if you love them, verse 32, which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. It's reciprocal. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same, even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. For your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And the Lord's taking care of that accounting. He knows, doesn't he? Well, that can't be. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said it himself. It is. Whether we believe it or not, it is. May the Lord help us in that. May certainly we of the household of faith be so one to another. Especially the household of faith. And it speaks, yeah, that's somewhat that kind of speaks or smacks to being cliquish. You know, it talked about those that you're own, you know, those that are in and those that are out. So, the thing is, we certainly need to do well by one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And indeed, doesn't the scripture bear out to us, as you that have siblings are on a first name basis with your siblings, we are first name basis children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. You hear what I'm saying? We're unified in the Lord. We're kin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we get a hold of that. And may we do well to all that the Lord brings across our life. Verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. This speaks of discretion. It speaks about not telling everything that we know. It speaks about not being a talebearer or a scandal monger, right? A talebearer revealeth secrets, Proverbs 11:13. But he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And you know, discretion. And not telling everything we know. Not letting everything out. A fool uttereth all his mind. Everything he knows, he's going to tell it. Or even thinks that he knows, he's going to tell it. Remember, in Proverbs 17, verse 9, the scripture says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. We don't need, this isn't a talking about hiding sin, but it's talking about not being a talebearer and having discretion in things. And again, a review of our motive when we tell something. Do we seek to help? Or do we seek to trump in news those that we're talking to? Yeah, I saw a guy that caught one this big. Yeah, but I knew a guy that caught one this big, right? Isn't that the way we are? We're that way naturally. May the Lord help us in that. What is our motive in telling it? A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards, when it's appropriate, if it is ever appropriate to tell. And certainly, when we run into things that are not right, not good, things that are a bad performance or a bad way of our brothers and sisters in Christ, or even folks we know in the community, or folks of our own families and such, we need to pray, don't we? We need to pray the Lord will help and bless them with good things. Verse 12, if a ruler hearkeneth to lies, hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Isn't that something? That's what the Lord says. If a ruler is one that he believes lies, all the ones around him are wicked. And I think that seems to certainly apply to our present day administration, doesn't it? I mean, it does. It's sad, but I believe that that's true. It seems like everything that's being touched is being made worse. Everything. To the detriment of our country. And no man governs or rules alone. That's the Lord. See, the Lord knows that. There's always got to be the help to do so. One man can't do it by himself. And if a ruler hearken to lies, we got the religion of global warming. Yeah. Well, no. Climate change. I'm sorry. Because it's not too warm these days. Especially when the price of propane, as we know. Madness at hand. May the Lord help our country and be merciful to us. May He forgive us of our wicked ways. Verse number 13. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, and the Lord lighteneth both their eyes. I think it could be applied several ways. The poor man, the deceitful man, the Lord can save them both, can He? Yeah, see, just because one is poor doesn't mean that they're more worthy of salvation. Okay? It's the poor in spirit, indeed, that need to be saved, not in the stuff of life. A deceitful man, the Lord can lighten his eyes, can He? And enlighten them. Speaking of the physical, the Lord has made us. He's created us. And He's told us about that in the Scripture. And it's a blessing to know that that's the case. In Matthew 5, Verse 45, the scripture says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust, as we read earlier. The Lord works and the Lord blesses. In Proverbs 20, we saw this, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And what a wonder both of them are. And that he's made them both. In Psalms 139, verses 13 through 17, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not a mistake, but a creation of God indeed. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Not only has he given us physical life, but we that he saved, he's given us spiritual life too. He's birthed us that way also. The poor man, the poor and the deceitful man meet together, and the Lord has blessed them and can bless them both. Verse 14, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Again, this is speaking about being a respecter of persons. From the king to the one that would be of lowest station in the kingdom, we need to be honest and not a respecter of persons. It's difficult sometimes. It's in us to pick and choose. We're built that way. But may the Lord help us that we be not that way. If a king, if he'll faithfully judge the poor, the Lord says his throne shall be established forever. And we talked about the poor, and certainly they have need, but things are out of control in this regard in our country. And it's bringing our country down. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Yes, the rod. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, we've got to instill in our children, we've got to instill in our children that we are looking to guide them to God. And when we speak and when we say the things that we want them to do or we want them to obey, you know, we need to stick with that. God doesn't waver, does he? Now, the Lord is merciful indeed. And in the course of rearing our children and dealing with them, you know, I had a time that I would think, and I'm not saying I'm the example, I'm just telling you how the Lord showed me and worked with me in this. One time, two times, three times, four, that ought to be enough to get the job done, and it ought to be over with. That's the way that I thought. But the thing is. And what we do say, there needs to be a penalty. There needs to be a chastisement for not obeying. Okay, because there does need to be a turning and a correction. But the thing is the Lord, he stays with us, doesn't he? And if I need, you know, the correction might get stiffer, or it might be there just the same, but the correction always comes. And in some things, as a child of God, we might need correction about something all our lives. But the Lord doesn't quit us, does he? You understand what I'm saying? We do need to turn and we do need to obey. But as the children of God, the Lord never lets us off. And he does mean what he's saying. And if we do change and turn from where we're disobedient, he'll quit correcting in that regard, right? And so what we need to do is we need to mean what we say. We need to have a just punishment for disobedience, and we need to be consistent. consistent. Sometimes you would have a child and it just takes a lot for them. They need a long time showing them the right way. But we just need to keep on. My tendency, there was a time, and I'm subject to it even now. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not the example. I'm just telling you what the Lord has showed me and helped me with is there needs to be firmness, but there needs to be consistency. Cross this line, disobey in this regard, this is what you get, period. Don't ever let a child, we don't need to let a child blow anything off, in the vernacular today. Don't become weary in well-doing and dealing with our children. They'll find out where our walls are down, and they'll keep going there because they learn it, and they know it. And so we need to, if we understand how the Lord is to us, what I was going to say earlier is like one time telling them one time, two times, three times, four, that ought to be enough, and then I would resort to anger. And that just leads to no good. Yes, they may disappoint me. Yes, my blood might get up a little bit, but they disobey in something. There's a recompense for that, and then we go on. They disobey in it again. There's a recompense for that, and then we go on. They do it again. There's a recompense for that, and we go on. And we just keep at it. They'll get the message. Some might take a long time, but they will get the message. Listen to this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, see that, letting them off, letting them blow it off, letting them find our walls down in some areas, it won't be any good. They'll bring shame indeed. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath other understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Yes, corporal punishment. Corporal chastisement is appropriate and right. That seat, that bottom was made just for that. Okay? It was. And listen to what the Lord says in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Not spoils him, but hateth his daughter, hateth his son. But he that loveth him, listen, chasteneth him betimes. That's what the Lord does to us. He doesn't say one time, two times, three times, four. And I'm talking, we get in grievous sin and get out in the world and we go on and on and on and on. The Lord may bring us to death indeed. But you know as well as I do, there's day-to-day things that we deal with and that come up in our lives and that we find ourselves in. We got to repent of that and ask the Lord to forgive us. And sometimes one thing might bother you doesn't bother me a bit, but something that bothers me terribly doesn't bother you a bit. That's the way that it is. And the Lord, He doesn't give up on us, but He keeps on. It may get a little stiffer, but he doesn't give up on us, and he does chasteneth us betimes, many, many times, till we learn the lesson. But he doesn't quit us, does he? He doesn't quit us as children. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And discipline and in correction, chastisement, we never need to do so in anger. Anger's no good. Anger turned into wrath is no good. Disobeying this, determine what the chastisement is, and then mete it out, and then go on. And then if it comes up again, do that. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, yes, and it's not talking about pummeling them, not talking about bruising them, but if thou give him that spanking, give him that, yeah, even that whipping, and we're not talking about with a horse whip, but if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. If thou shalt beat him with the rod, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And see, there's the end of it. We're giving our children for a time that we might instruct them that they are responsible to authority, because there's going to come a time that they're going to become an adult like us. That they will always be our children, but there's going to come a time that they're going to become a peer. More of a peer. They're going to embark on their own family and their own home, and they will be our children, but they're not going to be subject to our authority and our rule and responsibility as they are in our home. And then how will they be then? Because see, then it's them and the Lord. And what we've got our responsibility over them while they're in our home is to show them that ultimately they're responsible to the Lord. So if we let down and we're not perfect, we need the Lord's help, we need instruction. Some of us in life and the way that it is, we have to find out that our parents didn't necessarily do it right, or our parents didn't necessarily do things right. We got to learn from the Lord instead. That's the case in some people's lives. Maybe you're blessed with parents that did do well in disciplining and correction, but we always need to defer to what the Lord says. Okay, and so I'm not slamming our parents and the things that they taught us, but if they taught us something good from that lines up with the Word of God, great. But if it didn't, then we need to take what the Lord says and apply that, because we have the opportunity while they're in our homes to teach them that they are under the authority of God. We allow them to buck our authority, then they may be found indeed to where they would buck the Lord's. Of course, when we know that the Lord saves and the Lord works, and we pray that He will, but we have that responsibility there. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What is Brother Mark says? You knew it was a dangerous job when you took it, right? I mean, that's the truth. But the Lord can help us, okay? Verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. Yep. But the righteous shall see their fall. In the end, that'll be the case, won't it? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what is at hand in our day. And it's the case in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is a fine verse to put in here with this. And this is, we got 3 million plus people in our penal system in our country. 1% of our population in jail. And why is that? Well, I think that this is as an element of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Somebody's guilty of something, and I understand about appeal, and there needs to be a right amount of witnesses and an appropriate amount of witnesses, and the Lord spells that out even for us. There needs to be the right kind of evidence, but when that's the case, then there needs to be the appropriate penalty for the issue at hand, rather than a belaboring of society to sustain the guilty. Madness. Verse 17. Of Proverbs 29, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Yeah, speaking of sons, but it applies to daughters also. You put in their child, correct them, and it'll be peaceful. How is it that we want it? When folks see us and our children coming, they'll want to say, oh no, the Dukes are coming. Oh no. Batten down the hatches. Call out the law. Worst calamity that folks ever saw. No, we don't want it to be that way. We want them to be loved by folks. Well, we gotta correct them, and they'll give us rest. Otherwise, as they get, and so it's one thing when they're little, but as they get older and older and older and older, an unruly 16-year-old is a terrible, terrible thing. An unruly 14, 18-year-old is a terrible, terrible thing. And may the Lord help us in that. He can and will. Verse 18, we're going to close here, but I'm just going to read this verse to you in just a little bit of a preview, something to think about. A familiar passage, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision. Now, this verse, I've heard this verse all my life being used for planning and understanding of what the purpose, say, of a church is and such as that, and that's true. Folks embark upon, Stephen and Natalie are embarking upon building a house this year with the Lord's help and blessing. They've got to have a plan. If they don't have a plan, it ain't going to work out. It ain't going to happen. But I hadn't seen this before, that this word vision here in the Hebrew also speaks about oracle, the Word of God, amen. Namely. Where there is no oracle. Well, didn't Jesus say that? He quoted the Old Testament scriptures there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord or of God, doth man or shall man live? It's the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there won't be anything to eat. And where there is no oracle, where there is no vision, where there is no Word of God, the people indeed perish. And here's the reinforcer and the qualifier and the expander of that. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Keep the law, keep the Word of God. Hear the Lord. Believe that what he's saying is true. And follow him in it. And there will be peace, won't there? There'll be happiness and there'll be joy. We'll look at some of that more next time. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as Savior. And we point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah? He's the Savior. He's the only one that can take away sin. He's the only one that can save. And you need him. You don't need what your parents can do for you, and anybody that's not saved and has parents that are saved, no doubt their parents pray for them that they will be saved. But a parent can't do anything for the salvation of a soul. A grandparent, even if some of your family's as a preacher or a pastor, right, can pray for you and tell you about the Word of God, can't save you. You need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one. He's the Savior. And he says, come unto him. He says, repent of your sins and believe the gospel. He says, trust in me. Believe him. Believe what he says and trust him in it. Cast all your care, all the doubts, all the questions, all the things that would dissuade from that. Cast all that on him and trust in him and him alone. He's trustable. He'll never fail. But you must confess indeed that you need him. And yeah, that's fearful. It is fearful. But that's repentance. You come to the end of you and you look to Christ for what he alone can do.